Okay, go ahead, Esther. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald. It's 3 o'clock p.m., January 23rd, 2008. The commission is meeting today in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. We're meeting for a special meeting. There's only one item on the agenda, and with me today are Commissioners Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Do you have any opening comments before we get started on that one item?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, and so let's just go to Commissioner Kramer then for KC1.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the notice of intent to consider information not presented at a hearing in TransCanada Keystone Pipeline LP's application to construct a 30-inch crude petroleum pipeline in Cavalier to Sargent Counties, case number PU06421.
Second.
What this notice does is it gives notice that we intend to consider information that was not presented as evidence at any of the hearings in the Keystone case. There are two dockets. One document is a letter and a drawing that was filed on January 17th confirming that horizontal directional drilling will be used to drill under the Cheyenne River as well as the trees and shrubs on either side of the river in that entire scenic byway area there. It provides a drawing that shows the start point and the end point of the drilling. The other document is a letter from Keystone that was filed yesterday stating that it will install 0.72 pipe instead of 0.80 pipe in the Losing Stream Reach area of the Fordville Aquifer and where the pipeline crosses intermittent streams in the area of Lake Ashtabula. During our previously held work sessions on the siting permit and corridor certificate, all three commissioners expressed their support for ordering these design standards near the Fordville Aquifer and the Lake Ashtabula, and as well as the use of horizontal directional drilling under the Cheyenne River. And of course, we want to make those conditions of our order. But of course, we also know that I stated earlier that there's no evidence in our record that supports the acceptance of that because. That was never part of any hearing. So what we want to do is acknowledge these letters of intent by the company, their willingness to meet these design standards and either to get along, I guess, and to cooperate with landowners and with concerned citizens and with the commission, as well as avoid the potential of a reroute order in the permit. So with that, everything seems to be in order. Appreciate the willingness of the company. This notice will provide some time frame for any other parties to the case to respond, and that's why we're having the special meeting to start that clock as soon as possible. Everything seems to be in order.
Right. It says that you are hereby advised you have the right upon written request to examine the information or evidence and to present your own information or evidence and to cross-examine the person furnishing the information or evidence. My understanding is that this is directed at the interveners,
right,
not to any other outside party, but it is to the interveners who have already intervened. Any such written request must be filed within 10 days of the date of this notice. And so the commission will wait to see who we hear from during that 10-day time period.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the items on my portfolio.
All right, and that ends the items on the agenda today. Are there any questions?
Could you please explain to me what this order or this action refers only to the Fordville Aquifer and pipe that's going to
be? And Lake Ashtabula area, intermittent streams that would run into Lake Ashtabula.
And it refers to the notice of information about the Cheyenne River.
Well, right, and then the horizontal directional drilling. But
okay, so it also deals with the HDB that you requested.
That's correct.
To avoid cutting down those trees.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what is the difference between 7.2 pipe and 8.0 pipe?
Well, what that really is, what it means is 0.72 is the percentage of toward 100% of capacity. So 0.72 pipe will be thicker pipe. In other words, it'll be heavier pipe than the 0.80. Same amount of, obviously, same volume goes through, same pressure. It's just that pressure will represent a smaller percentage of capacity.
Is most of the pipe in the project 8.0 pipe?
Yes, it is. That's as a result of the waiver from the federal government. that allows them to have a higher hoop stress.
Do you have any idea how much more expensive 7.5 is?
I do not have any idea how much more expensive it is.
Not on the record.
Right.
Do you have any number of miles of 7.5 that are being...
Yes. Sure, we do. It's roughly, in the Fordville Aquifer area, it's roughly, and I'm going to look at Pat, about 2 miles, I suppose, and in the Lake Ashtabula area, I don't know if it's even that.
And in our notice, it tells exactly what miles.
Yeah, the mile posts.
For. All right. So, do you have a copy of that, Dale?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
All right. So it shows milepost 45.6 to milepost 47.9, and the other milepost 126.7 to 128.1.
It's roughly 2 miles for each one.
Okay. How is this going to affect the final order and the time?
Well. Oh, the timing of the final order? It'll take a little more time, although I'm not sure it'll affect the timing of the final order. In other words, obviously this is there's this 10-day waiting period, but it's not like we're ready to issue an order tomorrow anyway. Now, having said that, the question then to me becomes, it all depends on what the interveners do, how they would respond to this. And I don't want to speculate how they would respond. This clearly sets a higher standard, which is what they were after in terms of the security of and integrity of the pipe. So, I would hope they would be pleased by this action. On the other hand, there is a 10-day notice period during which time they could request more information or cross-examine the information, if you will.
How long does the 10 days begin running now?
It does. If we get it out today, during which time they, through written request, can look at the information, request information. I suppose they could ask for a hearing on the information. Have the opportunity to respond to the information.
And this was done because
there's nothing.
The thickness of the pipe in these particular locations was not discussed.
It's not that it wasn't discussed. There's no evidence on the record for us to preempt federal regulation. That's the bottom line, Dale. The bottom line is that, as a matter of fact, there is evidence on the record reminding us of our the fact that we are unable to preempt federal regulation. So given that, and given that there is nothing that allows us to, we could do one of a couple of things. I mean, we could have put it as a condition in the order and hope that they didn't object. However, that's not necessarily the best policy, especially in a highly contested race.
And with regard to the Cheyenne Scenic Area, there's certainly information on the record regarding
right.
that, but what
right.
was not available at the time of the hearing was the geologic tests that they were going to do to see if they feasibly could directionally drill under that spot. So by adding this to the record, it provides the information that they can do that, which will then give us the ability in the order to order that it be done.
To the order, it will be. That's correct. And it could not be if we couldn't receive it.
Well, we were noticing it for intent to consider this information. So, the commission is taking a close look at this, but we need to be able to have the input of other parties.
And is it fair to say, or is it correct to say, that you can't force them to do this, but they're doing it because they want to
That's probably a fair statement, but they could be doing it for one of a couple of reasons. I think they stated in their letter that in the interest of expediting the process, they are willing to meet this, voluntarily meet this request on the part of the commission. They, of course, continue to, and understandably, maintain their right not to, if you will, but at the same time, I think it is, we all understand that this commission does have the authority to order a reroute if we felt strongly enough.
It really is how you look at the particular issue, because I think while it would our counsel is advised, and I think it probably looks clear to us, we're not in the business of designing pipes, and we can't order specific design with regard to pipes, but we do have the authority to cite certain infrastructure in a given place or not. So, I mean, the answer could be, okay, we're not designing your pipe for you, we're just telling you that, given this set of factors, we're not comfortable with it here. And so I think the company's made the decision that rather than get into that whole argument, it's better for them just to say, look, we'll stipulate to...
And And essentially what's going on here is that they have agreed to do some horizontal drilling in the Cheyenne River Valley that you specified in order to avoid destroying some trees.
That's exactly right.
Cutting down trees. They're also making the pipe thicker at the Fordville Aquifer and
near Lake Ashtabula. Well, our rationale for it, I think we discussed at the work session, the reason we wanted a higher standard, a design standard in those two places is because of both of those places represent municipal drinking water supplies. In the case of Lake Ashtabula, I mean, it's also a recreational area. So we just felt like those areas deserved a little higher level of protection from potential leak or, you know, the results or the consequences of a leak, and this seemed like an appropriate action to provide that protection.
These were specific spots that reflected that, what's the correct word, Pat or Bill?
Were you thinking of high consequence areas?
Nope.
Losing.
Oh,
gaining.
In Fordville, yes.
But as I understood the company's letter, they're saying the 7-2 pipe is just fine. We're just putting this 8-0 pipe in because
they don't want to
They
continue to maintain that 7-2 is fine. That's correct. We prefer 8, and we appreciate their willingness to accommodate our concern with the 0.8 or the 0.72. I'm sorry, it's the other way around. Yes.
Do you think that 7-2 pipe would be appropriate for the entire length of the pipeline?
Well, I think that would be a pretty hard thing to get done, and. At some point you have to trust the federal government's standards and their understanding of those standards. The federal government, even in the standard or in the waiver, acknowledges there are certain high consequence areas that need a little bit more protection. And so we're just simply probably stretching that provision a little bit to include some drinking water and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm sorry. When Dave asked the question, it is. 0.72 is thicker than 0.80.
Because 0.72 doesn't refer to a gauge, I guess.
It refers to the hoop strength. It refers to the pressure that is allowed. It's really a percentage of 100. 100 being the design capacity.
And the lower the number, the thicker the pipe.
That's correct.
What's happened here is that the company has agreed to install this thicker pipe and do the horizontal drilling in the
areas designated. That's correct.
And because these circumstances were not discussed at the hearing, you need to have a meeting to make this public and also give a 10-day period for folks.
The only thing I would say is that it's not quite fair to say it wasn't discussed. What I would say is that there's no testimony or evidence in the official record to support us making this a condition of the order. Therefore, we are noticing our intent to perhaps do that, but that also then requires other interveners, other parties, the intervening parties in the case, to have the opportunity to review that information, to comment on that information, and the bottom line is to cross-examine it if they feel compelled
so
to.
The interveners didn't bring this in at all?
They did not.
No.
Not the city of Fargo?
No.
No.
Okay.
They did not.
Not. Okay.
As I understand it, was that the company had already proposed a certain thickness near cities or whatever, and then it was allowed by the feds to go a little thinner in the rural areas.
Right.
And now you're going to make them, well, so to speak, them be...
They're voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Are there three different thicknesses, or...
No.
Okay.
Not, I mean, there may be, but these, we're only dealing with two here, and there are only two that I know of. The 0.80 is what's provided by the PHMSA waiver, PHMSA being the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration waiver that they're operating under. The conditions you're thinking of where the waiver is not used are, two of them are HCAs, high consequence areas being population centers, large population centers, which there are none on the pipeline, and commercially navigable waterways, which there are not any on the pipeline. And then there are a couple of others that relate specifically to roads and railroads and crossing under highways, and then any area near an above-ground infrastructure related to the pipeline, like valves or pump stations, pigging stations. So those four exceptions are already in their PHMSA waiver. What are not are these other areas like municipal or drinking water, unusually sensitive areas, ecological areas, and so we're just...
0.72 already?
Those four that I talked about previously are 0.72.
Right, so what we're basically asking here is that they treat those areas that we consider to be high consequence, as they treat the definition of high consequence that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay.
PHMSA, you used an acronym.
Pipeline and Hazardous Safety... Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration.
Okay, I'm calculating the Ashton-Eula stretch is 1.4 miles. The Portable Aquifer stretch is 2.3.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So is the Ashton-Eula stretch one whole stretch, or is it like when they go under this?
When they're by coulees that happen to be draining in.
I mean,
is it one contiguous stretch is the question, and it is, because there is an area, and I do remember this from the master, there's an area where there are some intermittent streams, kind of like fingers that would drain toward there that were of the greatest concern to us. They are in one contiguous stretch there.
The city of Fargo did not bring this up.
Mm-mm.
Well, when you say didn't bring this up, what part do you mean?
Well, I'm wondering what the city of Fargo did with its time if it didn't bring up something like this.
Well, I can't remember if the PHMSA waiver itself
there
was ever mentioned.
People.
It may have. The waiver
other
itself might have been
have.
Mentioned, but I don't know that it ever got into the detail of.
Well, I know one group that brought up the PHMSA waiver, and that was the letter we recognized before from the water users group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
know
what
you're.
I think there was actually one comment from one of the Fargo's witnesses, which was eventually stricken from the record, I think, with regard to PHMSA, wasn't there?
There might have been, and Dale, I this is kind of a clumsy topic, but part of the ironic thing of this is that we're having to acknowledge this letter of these letters of willingness to do what we'd like them to do, largely because the company itself opposed our desire to have a higher standard, and did so quite eloquently with great painful legal reference to the federal law and our inability to preempt federal law. So it was really their own objection to our willingness to do this that created this process snafu that we're now dealing with. And I didn't say that probably as well as I should have, Counselor, but that's always been a little bit ironic. If it were not for that evidence, that testimony, we maybe wouldn't have to go through this little extra process. But this is a very important case and a sensitive case and, highly contested case. And therefore, we're going to do things as much by the book as we possibly can.
When do you expect to have an order?
Yeah, good question. I hope we have our next work session is Friday, I think, and then we have another one February 4th. And it's not inconceivable, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but it'd be my hope that Friday we will have a good draft order Friday again for commissioners to look at. We'll be looking at it prior to Friday. Come to the work session Friday to deal with whatever issues are still.
So they said I'm not going to have a final draft of the order until 2 minutes before the meeting.
Right,
so
and
I'm
so
going to need that extra week besides.
Right. So then there's February 4th. which would be, you know, then we'll have hopefully all of the comments that commissioners would have on Friday implemented into that draft. And so, put it this way: there's a meet. We have a scheduled meeting January 30th. We won't have an order on that meeting. Then our next scheduled meeting is February 13th, I think.
We'll see.
And yeah, we'll see. There, that's a good way to put it.
So okay.
Your dad said you'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Meeting now adjourned. All right. Thank you very much.
I don't want to tell people the schedule.
Oh, that's a good point. Do we want to schedule an informal on this action here? Mm-hmm. Is that your question?
Bills, yeah.
Sure. Or should we wait and see? Or should we wait and see next Wednesday? We could do it next Wednesday as well, can't we? Or?
Does it make any sense to schedule an informal? Because, I mean, what other information would you get? And we're in a contested proceeding, so wouldn't you have...
No, it would be a date certain that... Everybody would know, sort of speak.
So if there is something, then that's when...
But it wouldn't be an informal, would it? It'd be a formal.
Well, I don't know. This is 2 minutes ago.